Tom Karkle in the WRJN News Center. AccuWeather forecast for today, a mixture of clouds and maybe a little sun here and there. We'll have a high of about 38 degrees. Kenosha at this hour, 29. In Burlington, 28. In Milwaukee, 29 and 29 degrees also in Racine. Pleasant Prairie Police yesterday afternoon and part of last evening were looking intensely for a 20-year-old man they deemed to be possibly armed, suicidal, and dangerous. He was believed to be in possession of a gun and narcotics when he walked away from his grandparents' home near 116th Street and 28th Avenue from a confrontation about stolen credit cards and unauthorized purchases. The grandparents reportedly telling police the grandson was unstable and had been acting irrationally. His past history includes shooting a girlfriend while in Madison, probation from drug and weapons-related convictions, plus other pending charges. Pleasant Prairie Police concerned the young man might try to harm himself or others. Over a dozen squads, including from the State Patrol and Kenosha Sheriff's Office, part of a strategic search late in the afternoon and evening. It included reverse 911 calls, even pinging the man's phone. A few hours later, the man was placed within a few miles of Highway 20 and 90th Street in Mount Pleasant. It suggested that he had gotten a ride from somebody, and at last report, that individual had still not been located. Kenosha County District Attorney's Office believes the shooting death last weekend of 23-year-old Sean Bylas was an accident, not the result of anything intentional. This according to the assistant DA on the case, Tricia Riley. She says it appears that the 15-year-old, taken into custody, just had his hands on that gun when it went off.
At this time, what our office has decided to do is to charge the negligent handling of a dangerous weapon in juvenile court and to have a waiver for this individual.
A judge will have to decide, though, what happens next, including that waiver motion on the charge of handling the weapon, a hearing set for April. The teen, who will stay in juvenile detention up until at least that point, reportedly telling multiple versions of what occurred inside the apartment where the shooting occurred last weekend. State Appeals Court says that a man from Kenosha, accused of strangling a woman, then leaving her body in a cemetery, that man was properly convicted. Here's WRJN's Janet Hoff.
Prosecutors charged Javier Garcia with intentional homicide, sexual assault, false imprisonment, battery, and theft in connection with the 2012 death of Lisa Mazera. He was sentenced to life in 2014. Garcia argued that no male DNA was found on the victim and there was no evidence indicating how she lost her clothing. The Second District Court of Appeals upheld his conviction Wednesday, noting that Garcia wanted a relationship, but Mazera had rejected him. Female DNA that could have been Mazera's was found in Garcia's vehicle, and DNA under her fingernails could have come from Garcia. The court indicated that a jury could have reasonably inferred guilt. Janet Hoff, WRJN News.
And Kenosha firefighters discovered a shed engulfed in flames late yesterday afternoon and not far from a home at 7521 16th Avenue. Quick work kept the vast majority of the flames from overtaking that house. It did have some exterior damage as well as minimal smoke damage, but remained livable. Fire department says the shed and the contents were destroyed, however. Value on the damage unknown at this point. The cause of the fire remains under investigation. Visioning a Greater Racine is a movement that by the year 2030 hopes to create the feel of a flourishing place that residents are proud to call home. And one of the latest public input sessions was on the UW Parkside campus in Summers for some feedback from the students as well as a few members of the community. One of the facilitators, Joan Rory, explaining that part of this process goes toward improving the community self-image. One question that was asked of the people there, improvements they would like to see within the next 13 years. And the answers kind of ran the gamut.
The Preacher Park thing, I think, is going to be great for us. But, like, I really thought that the D-League team was going to, like, help Racine out.
Our entrances into Racine are very shabby, and I would like to see a beautification of what we have.
Small business days or small business weekends.
An improved busing system, public transportation.
Taking advantage of historical property for commercial purposes.
More entertainment events so that I don't feel like I have to go to Milwaukee to Chicago.
The goal with visioning a Greater Racine, having some 2,000 participants when the first phase is completed. Right now they're close to the halfway mark and there's a big gathering that's scheduled for May. United Way of Kenosha County has a new chief executive officer. Tara Penasevich is a longtime local resident who most recently served as the vice president at Southport Bank in Kenosha. She's officially joining the agency this week. Prior to Southport, she spent 14 years in Racine working at Johnson Bank. She replaces Tracy Nielsen, who left the agency last August to head up a nonprofit in Minneapolis. Communities all across the state being challenged of late on their tax assessments for big retail and commercial business sites. It's also the once in a great while they get discovery of an internal mistake that needs to be corrected. That's the case in Racine.
This was actually a property that should have been listed as tax exempt for the 2016 tax roll. That did not happen, so a tax bill was generated.
Racine Finance Director Dave Brown telling the Finance Committee the correction for 2707 Rapids Drive, a tax-exempt property, going to be waiving some of the money already paid in.
The property owner has paid all the special charges that were associated with it, so the stormwater utility, sanitary sewer charge, and whatever else may have been. So, and the portion of the property taxes that we write off will be charged back to the other taxing jurisdictions.
The erroneous property tax assessment for that address, almost $14,500. Finance Committee unanimously, without question, recommended the change be approved. Common Council expected to do the same next Wednesday night. And two out of three going to have to do among the candidates for state school superintendent. It's the only statewide race on next Tuesday's primary election ballot. And the Racine Taxpayers Association's got a forum tonight at 8 o'clock in which those two individuals will be participating in the Great Lakes Room on the Racine campus of Gateway Technical College. Confirmed are Lowell Holtz and John Humphreys. Incumbent Superintendent Tony Evers, reportedly with a scheduling conflict, will not be able to participate. Taxpayers Group indicates it's going to last about an hour, again starting around 8 o'clock. Two of the three candidates from that group will be advancing from the primary next week for the April ballot. WRJN.com, our webpage, has our newscast. They're in the local news section. And at WRJN News, it's for our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.